two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Well, we love our babies in Utah. Just ask Governor Spencer Cox. You know, he met with the president yesterday on vaccine distribution. And we could talk about vaccine distribution, but I said, you know, what the governor said in about 2 seconds just caught my attention. I'm like, no. We got, instead of vaccine distribution, we got to talk about this. Here's what he told the president.
Mr. President, we're really good at having kids here.
I love it.
In fact, we're so good at having kids here in Utah. We're number one in the nation when it comes to having kids.
We're number one. We're number one. We're number one.
We do. We have a lot of rugrats. Lots of rugrats running around. But it's still not enough. U.S. births in 2020 dropped more than any time in 50 years. Which is wild because the expectation was that the pandemic would increase births. It would be like the baby boom of modern days, right? The pandemic baby boom. That didn't happen. And that is why.
Oh, you think that's why? In 10 minutes, I'm going to give you the cost breakdown that I think explains why this isn't happening quite as often. Can't believe what I found. I can't wait to share it in 10 minutes. Amy Kobabe of KSL News Radio back with us in studio today. She's been researching this issue for us. This isn't new. Amy, it sounds like this is the sixth year in a row we've seen births decline.
Yeah, births are declining. Historically, Utah, though, has kind of bucked the trend. We have been the best, the top, as you said, though. We did dip in 2017 below North Dakota.
Oh.
So apparently had
cold.
A great year.
It's cold in North Dakota.
It's cold in North Dakota. Utah's birth rate, about 72 live births per 1,000 women. And in the latest numbers, that has actually slipped below what we need for replacement. And so not enough babies being born to replace our population and keep on the same trajectory that we've been on. And the rate needed to replenish the current population is also below nationally. So Utah, though, as we look at the trend, Utah is not quite catching up to the rest of the country. We're still number one, even though nationwide, that birth rate. And as we look internationally now, we just had breaking news a few days ago that India has a lower birth rate. So
it's a
trend that's not going away probably anytime soon.
Well, there's 1.3 billion in India. We're only about 320 million here in the United States.
Well, we've spoken over the years to Pam Perlich. She's with the University of Utah, and she dissects this information. She's an expert at it. She's been doing it for years. Let's listen to what she told us here at KSL News Radio. Now, she told us this last year, so I want to be clear on when the timeline of this statement happened.
The conundrum for us was we knew there's this long-term decline in fertility rates because that's global. That's national. That's just what's happening, people having smaller families. But we, you know, we hit the worst of the Great Recession in 2010, and we've been in one of the hottest economies in the nation, and people are moving here in large numbers, and, you know, a lot of economic and educational opportunity and young people moving here. But the number of births, not just the rate, been on this 11-year decline. And so we had to ask ourselves, you know, what's responsible for that? And part of what's responsible for that, we think, is that, you know, people who came of age during this Great Recession are very cautious, and they're wanting to make sure they've got their ducks in a row before they start having kids.
Yeah, you know, I think it made my own kids now in their 20s very cautious because they saw what was happening during the Great Recession when me and their dad and I were trying to figure out, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with the housing situation? You know, car companies were kind of struggling to stay afloat. And so I think in some ways they were scarred. So Amy, are we seeing a decline in millennials having kids?
Yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that, as Pam just laid out, wanting to have things ready before you have those kids. And so that pushes the date that you start having kids later. So you're going to have fewer kids if you're not starting in your early 20s. You're starting in your later 20s, 30s even. And another reason that researchers have looked at, even in Utah, is as the mission age changed just a few years ago for the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a lot of young women, that changed the trajectory of their careers. Their college graduating date was pushed off as they chose instead to serve a mission before graduating. And so, you know, a lot of these little factors can all add up.
Yeah.
Amy Kobe, thank you so much for joining us. Debbie, if I had one piece of advice, because there's a lot of reasons, if you start thinking about having kids and the effect and the cost and how scary it is, this would be my advice to my children who are not that far removed from, you know, being in that part of their life. I'd say, don't overthink it.
What?
Because if you think about it, you'll find all the reasons not to have kids. Listen, have a kid, you'll figure it out.
Okay, Dad. Thanks for your dad advice. I'm curious, though, how did you and your wife settle on number 4 is the magic number?
Okay, so in all honesty, I thought 2 was the magic number.
Really?
But then we negotiated a third. It was a strong negotiation, but it was definitely 3. 3 was the magic number. And then 4 was a surprise.
Oh. So it's interesting because I'm thinking back to those conversations, and I think we were in the don't overthink it camp. I don't know that we really settled.
You had 3 like in 4 years
I
or
did.
Something.
So I had 3 kids under the age of 3 and a half. At some point, I felt like a little Wonder Woman and a little, well, maybe not quite get my act together. And like Amy said, plan and make sure we had all of our ducks in a row. But I kind of had visualized in my younger years 2 children. And it really, for me, came down to could I afford to raise any more kids? And we ended up with 3. And my 3rd is my angel baby. She's amazing. And we're super close. I'm close with all my kids. But we had 3 kids, Dave. But I have to tell you, what has scared me kind of every step of the way is the money. The money situation. Would we be able to afford to feed them, to clothe them, to put them through college, to pay for their activities? And this really weighed on my mind for a number of years. So I thought it would be kind of interesting and intriguing to look up how much this is actually costing us, because I've never really seen a breakdown of how much money I'm out because I have 3 sweet, cute little rugrats. Straight ahead, Dave, I cannot wait to share with you the most expensive thing that we spend money on to raise our kids, and the cheapest ages to raise them. Let me tell you what, it gets a lot more expensive the older they get.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Oh, baby. Utah's tops in the nation when it comes to having, I'll just call them rugrats. And the governor kind of bragging about it to the president yesterday. Let's listen to what he told President Joe Biden.
Mr. President, we're really good at having kids here.
We're really good at having kids here. So for the next 8 minutes, Dave, can you do me the honor and allow me to break down the real cost of these rugrats? Because I've always wondered, but I've been afraid to look. Now that my kids are raised and I only have 2 in college, I felt it was time we all faced the truth, the real cost.
If the birth rate is plummeting, Debbie, don't tell parents what it costs to have kids. We'll never have another child born ever.
Really?
They are so outrageously expensive.
Such a sweet sound. Okay, so...
Well, there's the difference right there, Debbie. You think it's sweet, it's PTSD for me.
So every woman would have to have at least two children because Utah's birth rate has fallen below replacement levels.
2.1.
Yeah. This basically what this means is more people are dying than babies being born. So, yeah, 2.1. Is that the number you came up with?
Yep. Okay. Well, I didn't come up with it. The math is fairly simple.
All right.
But somebody gets a pass. I had four kids, so there you go. Somebody gets a pass. You don't need to have any kids. I took care of it.
Between the two of us, we don't quite have enough to field a baseball team. We have seven. I have three kids. You have four. And neither one of us, until this moment, knew the actual cost of raising a child. Now, I want you to keep in mind, because you're going to ask the question. I'm going to actually wait to answer this. Don't let me forget to answer this. Does this include the cost of college? I'm going to answer that in a minute. So here's the cost of kids according to, this is actually done by the federal government. They put together this list. Childbirth costs with an employer-based health insurance plan, David. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Wait, let's do that. Because that's what you're gonna be doing when you hear this. You're gonna be crying. $4,500.
Okay, that sounds about right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't get that for free.
And then you think about families who are looking into adoption. That's $40,000 on average through a private adoption agency. Yeah. Now,
who needs a down payment on a house?
I often wondered what would you think would be the most expensive cost overall? If I just spitballed this question at you at the kitchen table, I said, hey, what do you think is the most expensive cost to raising your kids? What would you say that is?
I've got a bunch of kids that are driving right now. So I would say some sort of driving. No. Have you not seen car insurance? Car maintenance.
It's actually
gasoline.
No, it's not. None of it. None of the above. Isn't that crazy? Housing. Housing your children.
Oh.
It's almost $4,000 a year. It's $315 on average per month per child. And here's why we get sucked into that is because we believe each child deserves to have their own space, their own bedroom.
Yes.
Probably with a big screen TV. Probably with their own iPhone and iPhone charger.
Stop staring at me, Debbie.
Probably brand new bedroom furniture so they can have a dresser drawer that opens properly and a headboard that looks beautiful. Yeah, it's at $315. So we are enticed, we believe as parents, that we need to purchase a larger home to put them in, to raise them.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to grow into it.
Right?
We got to have some space.
Oh, yeah.
And then mom and dad are, you know, relegated to a small little corner of the home. Like, hey, can we come out? And I don't know, maybe just have a bowl of cereal. I promise to go right back into my room.
Here's where we got tricked, Dave, as parents. We gave one of our kids, the favorite middle child, our son, the whole entire basement.
Oh. That kid had an apartment.
He was 12. It's just silly. I'm looking back on this and all these things I would have done differently. Okay. The second highest cost has actually nothing to do with you handing down your smart car, Dave, to your oldest son. It has to do with the cost of childcare. Now, every family's different. Not every family requires full-time childcare. A lot of moms work full-time in the home raising their kids.
Right.
But that, overall, Dave, drum roll, please. Give me your... We actually have a drum roll.
Hey! You don't need my drum roll anymore?
You're fine. You're fine. Okay, do the real drum roll. Yeah, you're fired. It's $37,000 total overall we've spent on childcare. That's a 16% of, you know, the cost. Overall, how much you put out, 16% of it goes to childcare.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Right.
It really doesn't because... there's a waiting list, and anytime there's a waiting list, you know that the demand is much higher than the supply, so prices go up.
Now, drum roll. Third on the list of how much we spend on raising our kids. And there is a theory that a lot of young couples are stepping back and saying, okay, how much is this going to cost overall? And maybe we only have two children instead of three or four or five. Transportation, what you said, Dave. And the one way to avoid the higher costs is don't buy them a brand new car off the lot,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
buy them
yeah.
a used car. Like
my truck has 256,000 miles.
Some kids getting that,
yeah,
and they'll
yeah.
love it. What,
they're definitely driving that bad boy. But it doesn't surprise me that finances creep in to the decision to have mm-hmm. kids or not. The mm-hmm. New York Times reported. That cost of kids is the biggest reason that adults are choosing not to have kids. In fact, of the top five reasons, four of them were money related.
Yeah.
So I can't say I'm surprised because you start ticking through how much it costs.
Would you agree with this? What I found that the cheapest age is 6 to 8 years old.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
They wear hand-me-downs without a fight. You can tell them, like, look, go play with chalk and a jump rope. And it that costs, you know, costs $5. And they play with that all summer long.
Yeah. Action figures are the best thing in the world. You can buy a million action figures. They just don't cost very much. When they get older, the tastes, they become more refined and expensive.
The most expensive age, Dave, you know it. 15 to 17 years old because the car, they get in a car accident. What else?
I have a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old.
I don't want to end this conversation because I feel like I'm learning so much about myself. The overall cost to raising a child, drum roll, right around $250,000. Your next question is, does that include the cost of college? No, it does not. No, it does not.
$250 per kid?
Per kid. So do the math, Dave. How much is that costing you to raise your four?
I don't want to do that math.
It's $1 million.
I don't want to do that math, Debbie.
It's $1 million, but it's more than that. I want to just, okay, we don't even have enough time, but let's take the time anyway. What was the biggest financial surprise to you raising kids? Go.
Healthcare bills.
Okay.
We had a kid get sick, allergic to everything. And the medicine that we've had to shell out over the years, that was a big surprise. Because you just kind of think, oh, kids are young, kids are healthy. Not always.
Can I share mine in 5 minutes? I think it'll blow you away, Dave, how much I ended up spending one summer on this one thing for one child. I didn't even want to do the math at the time. I'm going to share that with you. We also want to take your phone calls, 801-575-TALK. What was the biggest financial surprise to you while you're raising your kids? Dial in now, 801-575-TALK. Look forward to hearing from you straight ahead.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Now you can use that smart speaker at home
to listen to an expanded Dave and Dujanovic.
Dave and Debbie are on from 9 all the way to noon.
Go deeper on the news.
From 9 to noon, just ask Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
Dave and Dujanovic.
The theme to Rugrats. We're talking about having babies. Because yesterday, the governor, caught my attention. I was driving home listening to Maria Chaleos, Utah's Afternoon News, and she played an audio clip from the governor when he was speaking to the president of the United States. They were talking about the vaccines and getting more vaccines in the arms of Americans. But look, the governor said this to the president.
Mr. President, we're really good at having kids here.
We are really good at having kids here in Utah. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be intriguing for me to actually look up the cost of having children? We just went through the list of expenses. It adds up to about $250,000 for one kid. So I wondered if that's preventing people or giving people food for thought to having more kids.
Definitely. Well, of course it is. Right, you can't help but think about this when you're getting ready to have children, to start breaking down the numbers. But the Department of Agriculture actually broke this down, and they said the cost of a child is about $13,000 a year. Now, that includes food and clothing and transportation, but $13,000 a year, you start looking at it and you think, okay, well, can I absorb 13 grand?
Per kid.
Okay.
Per kid.
Per kid.
So the question we're asking is, what was the biggest surprise to you when it comes to raising your children? And Dave said earlier it was healthcare. I'll divulge mine in about 3 minutes. We got a long list of phone calls holding. Let's start with Stephanie from Bountiful. 801-575-TALK, as you're hearing the conversation, please call in and let us know. So, Stephanie, what was the biggest surprise for you when it came to money and your kids?
Hey, Debbie. So I have 5 children, and strangely enough, they are all very musical. We could tell right off the bat they were, you know, they could carry a tune, great musicians. So we put them in music lessons early on. And now, you know, they've all been in music for a few years. And, you know, they've got to have a great teacher. They got to have a great instrument. They all play different things. So the other day when we were adding up the cost of their lessons per month, per year. We did a yearly cost, all 5 of them lessons, $10,000.
Stop. Stephanie. Oh, my goodness. That's almost $1,000 a month. I mean, I'm sure there's a little additional cost here and there. But you know what? They're all going to grow up and be amazing Mozarts one day, and you will never regret it. I always felt like having my kids in activities kept them out of trouble, Dave.
No question.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of research that says, you know, kids involved in sports, kids involved in music, it benefits them, you know, for the rest of their lives. That's great. It still doesn't change the fact that poor Stephanie just shelled out 10 grand in music lessons.
What a mom. She gets mom of the year. I don't know. Maybe Karen from Harriman gets mom of the year. What was the biggest financial surprise for you when it came to raising kids, Karen?
It was kids' sports.
Yes.
I have 4 kids. 3 of them decided to play competitive soccer. So you have your competitive soccer fees that, you know, $2,000-$3,000 up to $5,000 a year just to join the club. And then you have uniform fees, a couple of $100. You have training fees outside of the club fees. There again, $100 a pop per lesson per kid. Then you have the tournaments.
Yes.
Tournaments, there again, you have another extra $100 just to go to the tournament, just to apply.
Right.
And then you take the whole family.
Right.
And you have to buy the hotel for 3 or 4 days. You've got to pay the food, the travel costs. And then it goes up if you decide to go to out-of-state tournaments.
Yeah. I remember, Karen, this happened to me, and it wasn't soccer. In fact, this was my biggest surprise. It was my oldest daughter's softball, and she played competitive softball for a number of years. And it was fine, Dave, when she was playing within Salt Lake County. But when the team decided to up and go to Spokane and then Denver, and they had an amazing team, and they won championships, and they're a great group of girls, we took the whole family. I mean, we were caravanning through, you know, every state on this side of the Mississippi all summer long. And I called it at the end of the summer. I added up the costs and I called it Lizzie's $10,000 summer. Her $10,000 summer. I had never anticipated the costs of sports would be so much of the family budget. And it wasn't just my oldest, and it wasn't just our middle child, my son. And it, actually, you know what? The youngest child really played competitive sports. Oh, she's a phenomenal athlete. Her expenses will come later because she's wanting to be a doctor.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, Robin Garfield, she's a producer here at KSL News Radio and a mom of 3 boys. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, you guys.
What's your biggest surprise when it comes to the budget?
This is like a little in line with you guys. So my dad was a pilot growing up. And so we did these crazy trips. There's 7 kids, but we flew free. So it never occurred to me how much travel could cost. So when we had our kids, I told my husband, we're going to be a traveling family. We're going to go on so many trips. We drive.
Yes.
We do. The cost of flying, I have three kids, the cost of flying a family of five. I mean, I granted I was naive. I never bought plane tickets because I had this wonderful benefit of my, standby flights from my dad. We drive everywhere. We're looking to go back east maybe this summer, and we've been dragging our feet. Since you times it by five,
yeah.
A plane ticket for $300, no big deal. But yeah, when you go on Google Flights and tick the one passenger to five, all of a sudden you go, oh, well,
Right. $3,000, nope. And you know, and then plus, I always thought, Robin, changing planes with kids in airports. I always had one on my lap and two in other seats, and one was crying and the other was angry. I remember when my youngest stood up when she was 3 years old, and she stood up on the plane and screamed, "We're going down!" as we were starting to land, and so all the passengers were panicked. Robin, thanks for contributing to the conversation. Couldn't agree with you more, Dave. You drive everywhere with your kids, probably. Like I did to save money.
Yeah, we bought the minivan, and we use the minivan. You know what is a sneaky cost that I always forget about? Clothes.
Yes.
Shoes. You're like, I just bought you shoes. As they're like falling off of their feet. You're like, I could have sworn I just bought you shoes. Like, last year? Oh, that's they're probably due for replacement. But that's one of the things that... is difficult to set aside because clothes are kind of, I don't want to say you can kind of not have them, you know, cause you can beg, borrow and steal a lot of clothes over the years, but buying new clothes, that always reaches up and gets me.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.